Let's start with some scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus the Christ. By his great mercy, he gave us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus the Christ from the dead. That is, an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It is reserved in heaven for you who by God's power are protected through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray together. Wow, Jesus, you invite us into so much. Thank you. We ask that this time would praise your name, bring honor to you, and further your kingdom, not our own desires. Thank you, Jesus, for your glory. Amen. Tradition in Cowboy Church is to have a time of scripture reading. It's been that way as long as I've been here. We're not changing that. There's going to be a scripture reading every week, but I want to invite you guys, not just scripture readers, but I want to invite you guys to participate. Now, I'm going to start. I'm going to lead by example. What I'm going to do for you tonight is the reading that I'm doing is something from the reading plan, not a whole chapter, relax, from the reading plan that particularly touched my heart. If as you go through the reading plan, you have a particular passage that touches your heart, talk to me. I'd love for you to be able to share that with the congregation. That's what this time is for. This time is for us to hear from the Lord through what he's doing in your life through his word. So, if through the reading plan, God touches you, God speaks to your heart, come talk with me, and we can slot that into one of these time slots. If you don't, you're stuck with me. So you want to, you hear me enough already, so, and we would love to hear you. I mean, I'm privileged, honestly, guys. I get to hear a lot of your stories, and it's exciting, and they're worthy of being shared. So come talk with me, and then we can share them. So tonight's scripture reading is from the book of James. We started in the book of James because James was the first book written in the New Testament. So the scripture reading is from James chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. James 3 verse 13 to the end of the chapter. And again, just to let you know, I'm reading from the New English Translation, the NET. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, he should show his works done in the gentleness that wisdom brings. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfishness in your hearts, do not boast and tell lies against the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, accommodating, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and not hypocritical. And the fruit that consists of righteousness is planted in peace among those who make peace. You know what struck me from that? You ever think of yourself as wise? I like to, whether I am or not, another story. But did you see verse 13? Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, he should show his works done in the gentleness that wisdom brings. I have never associated wisdom and gentleness. God does. Thought that has kept coming back to me over and over again. So it's a word from the Lord to me that I wanted to share with you guys. Jamie, let's do some praying. Again, as Jamie comes, folks, if you have something that God touches you through with that reading, come talk with me. We're going to take a look. We're going to continue our look in the book of Romans tonight. So I'm going to invite you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Book of Romans, chapter 8. We're continuing our journey through this letter of reconciliation, this letter of peace between two warring entities, this letter of, come on guys, you're all the same, get over it. That's really what Paul is trying to say over and over and over again. We spent the last few weeks talking about exactly what we just sang about, and that's awesome, that's cool. The way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, the person. We spent several weeks exploring that and talking about that and trying to nail that down real clear and real solid. And we're moving on from there with Paul tonight. Starting at verse 12, Romans chapter 8. So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation. We are under obligation. That's what Paul says. That's what the Lord says. We are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery leading again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Let's pause and pray. Father, as we look at your words today, as we interact with what it is that you want to say, I ask that you would open our hearts to your voice. Father, may my words quickly be forgotten, but may yours burn into our souls forever. This is too important to get wrong. Father, please be our teacher tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We have an obligation. This is actually an amazing, amazing set of verses. It is so cool. It is so awesome. The truths and the hope that are built into these verses. It really, really is. Let's take a look. Let's walk through these verses, and then we're going to see how that applies to you and I today, Sherwood Park, 2023. Or if you're listening online, wherever you happen to be. We're not live, but it is recorded, so you have to know that you have access to this later if you really want to. So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation. See, you remember Paul has just walked through with the Jews all of this stuff regarding the law, regarding the legalism, regarding everything else, and he says, guys, that's not the point anymore. The point is Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came and fulfilled it. Everything that was written is done. And we've moved even deeper into that connection with God through the blood of the eternal lamb, the eternal sacrifice, the limitless sacrifice. We've moved past having to do this every year. And the way is made open as the temple curtain was torn in two. Don't forget that temple curtain. It was physically impossible for any human. You've heard of strongman competitions where they try to tear a phone book in half. Of course, this is about the last generation that will make any sense to. What do you 411.com, how do you tear that in half? But don't forget, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. God opened the way when Jesus Christ died and paid for our sins. Paul has gone over that and over that. For the Jews, the legal system was an amazing obligation. They had to do it. And it was an obligation filled with fear, because if they didn't, they were in serious trouble. It was a bondage for them. It was a burden over them. Especially as the Pharisees and Sadducees, the teachers, the scribes, continued to add on more rules. They would add laws to protect the laws that were protecting the laws that were protecting the law that God wrote. Literally, there was about four circles around the Torah. The Torah was what God gave. All of the other circles were man-made. This was huge bondage and huge fear. Paul says, so we are still under an obligation, but it's a different obligation. This obligation is to not live according to the flesh. This obligation is to not be living the way we used to live, by what we could accomplish, by what we could do, by our desires, by our impulses. He goes on, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Yeah, we've been through that. In the previous seven chapters, we've been through that over and over and over again. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, if you accept that Spirit of Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you take Him as the transformational power in your life because He died for your sins, you have just put to death the deeds of the flesh on that cross. I have been crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. Good news! We have an obligation to not live according to the flesh, because that is where my flesh hung. With the body of Jesus, the Christ, as He died. So my obligation is not to it anymore. Guess what? It's dead. The old man, the old nature, however you want to call it, the flesh, it's dead. So I am free from the obligation to it. But I still have an obligation. So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation. Obligation not to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led, or who are being led by the Spirit of God, are sons of God. Now, ladies, don't get bent out of shape about that word sons, okay? We're not talking gender here. We're talking rights and privileges here. We're talking ancient Rome here, okay? A daughter had less rights and less privileges. I'm sorry, it's just the way it was. Don't kill me. Roman Empire collapsed a long time ago. So sons is a legal term here, not a gender term, okay? That's why some translations, like this one, still has sons. Everywhere where it's not, where it's gender, whatever, it's brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, men and women. But this is a legal term. It's sons as a legal term, not as a gender term. Okay? All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery, leading again to fear. We were slaves, weren't we? You did not receive the spirit of slavery leading again to fear. That's where we lived in the past. That's where the Jews lived, in the fear that God, that they would fall out of God's grace because they did something wrong or they didn't do something right. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We're going to come back to that word adoption in a minute. But that word Abba, Father, let's clear up some things about Abba, Father. I'm going to use some of my extensive vocabulary. That's sarcasm, by the way. And I'm going to give you an example, and I'm willing to bet maybe one of you will understand this, maybe two. The spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Atietz, Father. That make any sense to you? You know what Atietz means? Father. It's Russian. That's all. That's all this actually is. Abba is the Aramaic word for father. That's it. That's all it is. It's a word used in prayer. It was, as at that time, it was the Aramaic word used in prayer. It was also used in the family circle. It's what you called your dad. So it's not a term of deeper respect. It's not a term of deeper endearment. It's just another way of saying dad, father. Paul wants to make it clear that God is our father. Not the father. My father. Some of us didn't have dads that we liked. Some of us had horrible dads. I get it. God's not like that. Trust me, he's not like that. Because whatever you need, not want, whatever you need, that's what God, your Father, wants to give to you. He loves you beyond your ability to comprehend. That's our Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father, my dad in heaven. Not my earthly dad, who is in heaven and has been for 12 human years. The one who adopted me. Let's talk about that word, adoption. Again, we have a very, very legal term here. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Legal term. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery leading again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Legal term. It's not making it nice, warm, and fuzzy. This was an actual legal term that was used for adopting a child, adopting someone into your household, now, into your family. In the Roman times, when you would be adopted as a son, you were given, you were expected to leave behind all former familial ties. It's a break with the old family. And it's a total encompassment of the new family. Is it any wonder Paul says in 2 Corinthians that those who are in Christ, the old is gone. The new has come. Okay? This was a complete and total break between familial ties. What was connected to, what I was connected to, where my obligations lie, all of the rights and privileges of that family are gone. Completely. And I have a new family to whom I belong. I have all the rights and all the privileges of belonging to that family with God as the head, with God as the Father. All the rights, all the privileges, John 1:12, right? To as many as believed him, to those he gave the right to to be called the children of God, even to those that believe on his name. Now, so far, everything that I've said is true, but I've left out a very, very, very important word. We have all of the rights of legal children. We have all of the privileges of legal children, and we love that because that means someday I'm going to heaven. That means my name is in that record book. But it also means that I have all the responsibilities of being a child of God. It's three words in adoption: rights, privileges, responsibilities. We have an obligation. That's why I started by saying something that sounded highly heretical. I get it. Having your name in a record book isn't enough. It's enough to get you into heaven. It's enough to make you a gold digger. I looked it up. I couldn't find any better word for that. Sorry. I realize that gold digger is usually referred to a woman who goes headhunting for an old guy who's loaded so that she can outlast him and get his everything that he's got. What else would you call somebody who becomes a Christian only to get to heaven? Only to get the good stuff. Only to get the inheritance. Not interested in anything here and now. Not interested in this life. I'm interested in the inheritance. What do you call a person like that? Oftentimes we call them Christians. Because oftentimes, that's our focus when we try to bring someone to Christ. It's like, you've got to become saved so you can get to heaven. What about now? Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Eternal life, for me, does not start the moment I die. It started 51 years ago. Eternal life did. I didn't get it very well. I didn't clue into what it was all about for a long time. But that's when my eternal life began. And I got to tell you, I am living the life. And I love it. And it's the hardest life I've ever lived. And it's the most rewarding life I could ever hope for. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an obligation. We have a new family that we're a part of. And we have new familial obligations to our new family. What does that look like? Well, Paul eventually gets there in Romans, so we're going to save the Roman section for probably a couple months from now, so we won't remember tonight. But we're going to take a look in some of his other letters at some of these familial obligations that you and I have today as kids of our dad in heaven. And yes, I'm using those terms deliberately, intentionally, not disrespectfully, but relationally. Ephesians chapter 5. This is actually our memory verse for this week, if you're doing that. And if not, that's okay. Ephesians chapter 5, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. It's fun to watch kids who come from loving parents because you can see the parents in the kids. Because the parents mimic the kids. You ever notice that? Kids mimic the parents. Thank you. Whew. It's 9 o'clock yet? No, okay. Kids mimic their parents, don't they? Especially in social settings when suddenly one of the kids comes out with a word that you didn't teach them. Where did they hear that? And then you hear mom over there using that word. I had to pick on mom today. Kids mimic their parents. You probably heard me tell the story of the single mom. Her boy was 11, 12, 13. Starting to get a little peach fuzzy. So, bought him everything he needed. Shaving brush, shaving cream, razor, everything. Says, okay, you know how to use it? Yeah. I know how to, I got this, Mom, please. I got this. You don't need to embarrass me. Mom, I got this. Okay. So off the kid goes into the bathroom and starts to shave. And Mom hears water running. And the sounds that she's hearing don't make any sense. So she cracks the bathroom door open just enough to see him shaving his legs. So Mom does. So Mom shaves. Kids mimic their parents. Do you mimic God? Are you an imitator of God? Do you take Him as your example of how to live? I'm going to get real personal. Do you take Him as your example of how to drive? Do you take Him as your example of how to interact with people in the express checkout line when they have 14 items and the sign says 11? Let's take a look at some more detailed examples of what it means to have family obligations. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, this is Paul writing, urge you to live worthily of the calling with which you have been called. What have you been called besides all of the bad names that everybody else calls you? What does God call you? Child, beloved daughter, amazing son. That's what God calls you. Paul says, I urge you to live worthy of your calling. But he doesn't stop there. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, putting up with one another, and making every effort. The list gets harder as it goes along. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, putting up with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yeah, Paul says, put up with each other. Colossians chapter 3. You don't have to turn there, but Gloria, if you're writing it down, then you've got the reference. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to start reading at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If someone happens to have a complaint against anyone else, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are to forgive them. I'm going to pick on one of those words. Not because it's multiple choice, pick the one that you like. We're responsible for all of those. But because I've already confessed to you that there's a word that God has been working with me. And I'm going to pick on that word because God is picking on me with that word. And that word is gentleness. It's a word that is in very short supply in our culture. Unless you're talking about kittens or puppies or baby animals of any variety, gentleness is not found in human interactions generally. Paul calls Jesus gentle in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I urge you by the meek and gentle Jesus. Jesus was gentle. Gentle doesn't mean weak. Gentle doesn't necessarily mean soft, but it means not harsh. Gentleness. Wow. It's a word that keeps coming back to my mind, and I've tried to paste it under the front of my forehead on the inside so that I can see it when I look out. Because it's what needs to characterize my interactions with you. It's what needs to characterize my interactions with the world out there. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be evident because the Lord is close at hand. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Are you gentle in your thoughts towards other people? Are you gentle in your speech towards other people? Folks, let me be real, real, real clear here. I'm talking to you, not to your neighbor, not to the one that you wished was here listening to it, not to the one across the aisle. I'm talking to the one you see when you stand by yourself in front of the mirror. No one else is going to be around you when you stand before Jesus and he says, let's talk about gentleness. I was more gentle than... There's no one else here? Yeah. That's just one of them. We could talk about humility. We could talk about patience. We could talk about endurance. But I think especially in our culture, in our day and age, in our church, gentleness is in short supply. How do you interact with those around you? Is gentleness the word that comes to mind? When someone else describes you, it was the word that came to mind when Paul talked about Jesus. Honestly, that's who I want to be like. Told you, it's the hardest life I've ever lived. Gentleness, kindness. There's another hard one. Folks, we have an obligation to our new Father, one who loves us enough to do everything necessary to adopt us into his family, to carry his family name. Are we doing him proud? Or are we only looking for the inheritance when we die? Amen. I'm going to ask you folks to stay standing as we close in prayer. But just a reminder, folks, God's not talking to you about your neighbor. He's not talking to you about your kids, someone else that you know. He's talking to you about you, the person in the mirror. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for what you've done for us. And what you've done for us is so far beyond our ability to understand and to comprehend. How could you do all of that just for me? Lord Jesus, all too often, I've only been interested in the inheritance. And Father, for each person here tonight who is one of your children, I ask that you would give them a heart and a burning passion for more than just the inheritance when I die. But for an intimacy of walking with you every day, of knowing your life in me, of your life in them, of your life through them. Living the life that you created them for. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. And I do ask, please, give us that burning desire for more of you today. May you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. To him be the honor, both now and to that eternal day. Amen. Folks, have an amazing weekend, but don't forget, you're not leaving God behind when you leave the building. He's with you.